Blog Talk Radio.
I had a little technical difficulty there for a hot second. I'm wondering if I'm on. If I'm on, give me a check. 1, 2, 1, 2 on the Ning board. Give me a check. 1, 2. All right. We are up live and rocking and rolling. I accidentally hit the wrong button for some reason. I wanted to pick up my phone and just cut the whole thing off. I had to hit speed dial and get back into action. Boy, that was a quick timeout. Just like football. And that's what we talk about here on you know, 4 quarters with Coach Lee, because you're rocking 4 quarters with Coach Lee here on Blog Talk Radio. Continue, that is. But anyway, hey, this is where we talk about nothing but football, women's football, women's football, women's football. We got 4 great quarters of football lined up for you this evening. Quarter number one, we're going to talk about R&R. For those who don't know what R&R is, it's called rest and relaxation. I mean, we got a bye week. And then we talk about some injuries and why it's so important. Quarter number two, the passing game. Take it to the next level. Quarter number three, we'll work on, we got here, the WFA Championship weekend. I got some updates, and I definitely would be putting it together for you and make sure that you know what's going down in Vegas. And then always, like I normally do, you know, it's open up to coaches to call in, it's open up to owners to call in, it's open up for players to call in. But we ended with a hot topic on the Ning board. For those that don't know about the Ning board, that is Women's Tackle Football Group .ning.com, because that's where it's all about. That's the place to be if you want to know what's going down in women's football across the country and around the world. You want to be on that Ning board. All right, all right, all right. Just like we do, always do, you know, we got to kick it off. We got to kick it off. You know, but I always got to drop my sponsors. You know what I'm saying? I got to drop my sponsors. I ain't giving them a lot of love in between quarters because I got so much that I be talking about that I be forgetting about sometimes. But I don't want you to forget about sponsors. It's very important to support your sponsors, support my sponsors. We need all support sponsors. All right, anyway, getting to my sponsors. You know what? We got Adidas. My Adidas, your Adidas, we Adidas. We all should be rocking Adidas. And I've been asked the question, Coach, how come you don't play the Adidas song anymore? Hey, I just, you know, that's a 30-second spot. I cut them down to 10 seconds. I'm sorry. I need more time to talk. And we got Enterprise Rent a Car. Why? Because they'll pick you up, you know. And also we got Rogers Athletic Equipment Company, official sponsors of the Women's Football Camp and Conference happening in Las Vegas, Nevada on January 6th through the 9th, 2011. Is where the good gets better. How do I know? Because I'm there and I told you so. Anyway, let's get this thing started like we always do. You know, we always kick it off. I always want to kick the ball off. Why? Because I want to put the other team in bad field position. We got a great kicker, and we got some speed demons that like to get down the field and, you know, and make some hits. So anyway, let's go ahead and start this off like I always do.
And it's a deep, deep, deep kick.
That's what we talk about here. Nothing but deepness when we talk about women's football here on Four Quarters of Coach Lee. And let's roll with quarter number one. Quarter number one, R&R. I am a high-profile, want-to-coach, want-to-have-as-much-rest-as-possible going to my next game as possible. That's what R&R stands for, rest and relaxation. You know, we're in the middle of the season, and a lot of teams out there are all beat up, including my team. You know, we went to Utah this weekend with a light roster. We left about 13 people at the house. And due to, you know, injuries and due to, you know, not coming to practice. But we talked about that another time. But we're going to talk about rest and relaxation. And sometimes, you know, you got to know when it's time to take off. You know, you ladies ain't getting paid to play. And I'm not here to endanger your health. But you definitely got to know the difference between being hurt and being injured, you know. Being hurt means you can't go no more. You know? Well, I don't even know. It's flip mode, flip side every time. But, you know, I'm just going to put it the way I put it. You know, if you hurt, you can't play. If you injured, hey, tape it up, put some dirt on it, spit on it, do what you got to do, let's go. But, you know, sometimes you definitely got to take off. And I know at this point in time in the season, we're six games in, a little over two-thirds of the way of the regular season. If we accomplish our goal, we got seven more games to go. So we got to take it easy here and there and get that body rested. But we are definitely taking advantage of this one week off, basically. We're only going to practice Tuesday, and basically Tuesday night is really weightlifting for about an hour, hour and a half, and then we do films for about 30 to 45 minutes, all depends. I might split it up to 60 minutes each. But we're definitely going to take time to enjoy ourselves as a team. We're going to enjoy the time off, get away from football, get some energy to come back and finish up this second half. I mean, I think it was timely that this occurred this particular weekend. I know in the WFA there's no games played this weekend, and that was done purposely. You know, I saw on the Ning board that, you know, we should have played because it's a great weekend. Families want to get together and go see outdoor activities. But in back of my mind, I'm thinking that, you know, just because it's a holiday, this is another excuse for players not to show up or fans not to be there. Because, again, it's a time where families get together and make long extended weekends, leave out on Friday, maybe Thursday night, and don't have to report back home until Monday. So I thought it was a great move that the WFA used this as an opportunity for everybody to have a bye at the same time. Does it extend the season? Yes. But, you know, who cares? You know, it's not like a million people out there know that women play football, but who are we hurting? We're not hurting our fan base. It might give us another week and a half to go out and recruit and do some more promoting about our game, let alone, you know, disappoint somebody. But anyway, rest and relaxation is so important. You know, that don't mean, you know, you take off and you go play basketball or you go play a rugby tournament or a flag football tournament. I mean, again, you're taking chances of you getting hurt this weekend when you really want to rest, have some rest and some relaxation. I know I need it. Man, my head is just hurting. You know, all the things that go on and things I got to do. But, you know, that's just being me. I'm a multitask type of person. I actually got to be doing something to feel like I'm relaxed. If not, man, I just start shaking in my boots, you know, because I got to do something. And I know some of my players like that. So they got a couple of functions that they're doing this week. I think they're having a team barbecue this weekend, you know, just to hang out. I mean, that's what the whole football thing is all about, fellowship, you know. I mean, I can go back to cats that we played when we were 5 and 6 years old. Matter of fact, on Facebook, they'd be throwing up, you know, pictures from back in the day, you know, when I'm rocking a big fro, you know, like 20 inches off my skull type of throw, you know. And that's the thing that we do, you know. We go back and remember, man, we should kick butt. We should do this. We should do that. You know, and that's what football does. It's the ultimate team sport. It's the ultimate family. And you never, ever, ever, ever want to have a divided home in your family. But, you know, that's why you have your team events. You know, you bring the families of the team. I love hosting events at my house. You know, I got a big yard, big pool, and, you know, everyone who got kids, come on over. Let's go. Throw a couple of dogs on the grill and just enjoy each other and the fact that we are all here, you know, that football brought us together. I never, ever would have had a friend like you if I didn't play football, you know. I wouldn't know about somebody else's culture, you know, or, you know, church beliefs or whatever it may be if it wasn't for football. That's why it's the ultimate sport. But a lot of rest and relaxation, you know. You know, coach, what you going to do during that time? Hey, shouldn't you be prepared for the next game? Yes and no. Again, I want the girls to get away from football as far as they can. After Tuesday meeting, I just want them to focus on getting their stuff together. You know, everybody's having some trials and tribulations and life issues. You know, take a break. Breathe a little bit. You know, go out and go fishing. Do what you got to do. And then come back focused next Tuesday. And let's pick up where we left off and, you know, move from there. You know, so, again, rest and relaxation is a definite need. I've definitely seen some people, again, on the meeting board prior to this weekend, we're talking about why have, you know, 8 games in 11 weeks or 12 weeks. That's just extending the season. So what? So what? Again, these women ain't getting paid. It ain't like they got to hurry up and get their season in. I think women's football in the spring is at its best time. You know what I'm saying? It starts up right after the Super Bowl. You know, we got to get more hype on promoting right after the football, similar to what the WNBA does with the NBA. They start in the playoffs, and then, you know, they do a lot of commercials, now it's our turn, and all the other good slogans that they come up with. But we haven't gotten to that point yet. But I think women's football is in a great market in the spring. It's just a matter of, you know, you know, doing it right. Now, in some places in the world, in the United States, it's still cold, and I just experienced that this weekend. And I know Coach Cover from the Utah Blitz. We chit chat quite often, talk smack on the kneeling board, and he'll tell me to bring my snow boots and my hat and my ski pants. And guess what? I was coaching in my ski pants. He started laughing. He came out there with shorts on and his regular baseball hat. I was like, no. I just left 98 degrees and didn't come down. It was what, low 50s, had rained the night before, you know. But anyway, that's a whole nother topic, you know. But, again, that's just being prepared. You know, I don't like to be uncomfortable when I'm coaching. So if it's going to be hot, let me wear some shorts. If it's going to be cold, I'm going to bundle up. But, again, rest and relaxation is definitely needed for these ladies. They play hard. They hit hard. You know, again, it goes with my practice. I'm not a physical practicing coach. Questions have been asked, you know, how we run practice and stuff like that during the season. We don't do much hitting. We probably did the most hitting was probably about 2 weeks before our first scrimmage for about 6 days, 6 practices that we actually done live hitting. Just so they can get a feel of it. Then we went into the scrimmages and hit live, of course. But a lot of our hitting is in the game. But we do work on a lot of fundamentals and technique on each other. We do have, you know, tackling bags, 140-pound bags that are like weeble wobbles when you hit them. You know, they fall. What's the slogan back in the 70s? Weeble wobble. You can hit them, but they don't fall down or something like that. But anyway, I can't quote what I'm trying to quote, but we rolling, though, you know. That's just how it goes. It just goes like that. But I'm saying, that's how we go through practice to prevent injuries. When you're dealing with a large group of people, I was going to use people because I don't want to say gender or age in a situation, in an environment that they're not used to and they don't know how to, they tend to get more injuries or actually getting hurt. I actually lost 2 girls in practice before the season started, during those 6 days, to knee injuries. Could they? Yeah, we will wobble, but they don't fall down. There you go. Thank you, BJ. I knew somebody of my caliber, meaning my age, would get that. Thank you so much. By Wham-O, right? Wham-O should have been the company. But the young folks don't know nothing about Wham-O. Anyway, so again, we use a lot of sleds. We use a lot of tackling dummies. We use bags. And we teach the girls how to protect themselves, during practice. And then we let them go full speed in the game. It kind of gets them amped up because I blow the whistle early. You know, they're like, oh, come on, coach. Like, no, you don't want to kill your own player. Save that energy for the next game. You know, so again, we kind of have a little rest and relaxation during our practice as well. But that's just me. A fundamental coach who loves to do things over and over and over again. I just don't do a lot of hitting. I would stand there with the bag and proceed to hit with the bag instead of letting the girls hit each other. For the linemen, you know, they have to hit. That's just something that they have to do. But, you know, it's something that we got to constantly teach. And then, again, with rest and relaxation, there's a lot of film that we're doing. So, again, I've cut up a couple of films of the next game, sent it out to the girls, and they're basically going to be evaluating the next team and coming in. And now that it's to the point in the season where they're able to explain what the basic plays that the teams do and what they run and what our adjustments should be. Because, again, it's part of teaching the game, you know. You want your players to be able to take that information that you gave to them and give back to you. So, you know, as a teacher, you're teaching. You know, that's the test, you know. Practice is practice. The game is the ultimate test. But the top priority test is if they can reiterate all the things that you've been teaching all this time and be able to explain it once they see the films. Now that they've sat back and understand how I look at films and how they should look at films and how they should approach films. So anyway, rest and relaxation. Some coaches agree, some coaches don't agree. But you know what? The more rested, the less injured my team is, the better we play. The more bodies we're able to put out there, because right now teams are going down. They're going down. I've seen it, and I've heard it. I just talked to my man Duncan from the Amazons. Hey, he got 4 knee surgeries lined up and 1 ankle, you know, to star players. You know, you look on the sideline, you're like, wow, I started off with 35. Now I'm down to 23, 22. Players get hurt. We need the rest and relaxation. We need the buys. No need to be rushing through the season. And that's just my take on rest and relaxation. If you got something you want to add to it, you can always call in 347-826-7278. Just press pound or 1 and pound and BJ will throw you in, and we can talk all you want about this subject, that subject, and every subject here on 4 Quarter Coach Late. Woo! All right, let's moving on. Quarter number two, the passing game, taking it to the next level. Why am I bringing this up? Well, I'm fortunate to have a great group of athletes that I'm able to put the ball in the air at need, at choice, and at will. I think it brings another element to the game. You're able to spread the ball around a lot easier instead of handing the ball off to one or two running backs per se. But it also brings some excitement to the game, and it also shows an element of the athleticism of the women that play this game, because that's what the fans want to see. Is this product what I see on TV? Is this the same product that I see in the NFL? Is the same product that I see on college football or Friday Night Lights in high school or Pop Warner football? You know, I've been around football I'll be 40 in 3 weeks. I've been around football for almost 40 in 3 weeks, most of my life of football. And I know that the basic essentials of football from being a little kid growing up was it was run first. And throw one or two passes a game and hope and pray that ball falls into your own player's hand or that they can even get the ball off. And I think a lot of coaches have taken that approach to women's football. And I changed my mind the 5 minutes after my very first game. The very first game that the Showgirls played, I played SoCal Scorpion. And they did what they supposed to do. They blitzed the crap out of us through the A-gaps. my quarterback couldn't even get to her third step before she was getting pounded, you know, because I was taking the ball under snap. You know, same thing when we're trying to hand the ball off. The only thing that we got away with was just quick toss and quick pitch. And I said from that moment out, after that game, I said, you know what, we're going to play football. I'm not going to sit up here and try to bring you guys up as elementary kids. You guys are adults, and we're going to learn as adults, and we're going to run a complicated scheme, and you're going to pick it up. And that's just what I threw against the wall, and it started sticking every game. Game after game after game, and actually it stuck the very next game. I was able to take the Amazon, and we lost, but we lost in overtime 20-14 because, you know, I had no limits on what we can do. And I think I put that trap on the ladies. You know, I don't want them to throw the ball because there's going to be some ducks flying out here. For those who know football, when the quarterback throws a wobbly ball, we call those ducks. And I didn't want my fans seeing ducks, you know, and booing, and if the girls can catch. But I had to take my umbrella off the top of my head and say, you know what, there is no limits to what you guys can learn, so let's do it. So that's when we started. And right now I think we are the premier passing team in the country. I will match this up with any team out there. I know the Tribe is a hell of a team, and I've watched them on them as well. But they're more of a short passing game. We're long range, mid range, short game. We mix it up, you know. And then we got athletes that can make plays and go after the balls and dive and jump and run under and speed. I mean, it's all of that. But that is the next level of football that we are pushing, and it's the passing game. The passing game makes it exciting. It definitely makes it exciting, and it is all to the good, you know. I got Coach Holmes on the line, ready to talk. Go ahead and bring him on. Bring Coach Holmes on board. Like I said, my show is open. You know, I talk about the subjects, and I talk about the topics, but if I got a coach on or a player on that want to get on and we talk about the topic that we're talking about, or even we not talk about the topic, jump on board. Coach Holmes, you there?
I am here, sir.
What's happening, big boss?
Not much. How you doing? You talking about passing games, so I had to chime
you know
in just a little.
I'm talking about the passing game because, baby, that's what we do here on the West Coast. You know, we got the weather, we got everything. So we go ahead and use it. What you got to put on it?
Oh, well, you know, on the East Coast, we like to pass too. And you might not be reflected in our numbers right now because we've been so far ahead that I haven't been passing much in the second half. But we have the ability to throw the ball, and most of them are the long-range bombs. But I like to think that we can throw long-range, mid-range, or short-range. Whatever the defense gives us is what we can do. And it's just, you know, common sense to me, if you're a coach, to take what they give you. If they give me the long bomb, I'm going to take it. If they give me the mid-range game, I'm going to take it. And if they give me the short-range game, I'm going to take that too. That falls on the coach to be able to coach and teach a quarterback to be able to recognize what coverage they have and how we can get the ball most effectively down the football field. And like you say, that's the next level of football. I don't say it's the next level. I say it's here now. And that's what I try to coach and teach and do.
Right, definitely that. I mean, I've been fortunate to have my starting quarterback. This is her fourth season. And so she's been able to basically learn coverages pre-snap. I mean, she's running her own plays. She comes to me and makes suggestions. You know, I can put my playbook in my pocket and let her make the call. And half the time I'm telling her, you make the call. You know, she'll come up to the line and call the play. You know, old-style football, that's how it was in the 70s with Terry Bradshaw and all those other guys, Roger Staubach. They called the plays. There was no offensive coordinator. There was nobody in the booth calling the plays. You know, they did all that coaching during practice, and it was up to the players who play the game to know what works, you know? So
I agree.
You know, like I said, what I'm saying the next level, I'm just saying across the board, we as coaches got to be able to take it to the next level, meaning that we got to be able to teach that and not, you know, confined ourselves and saying, you know what, we're just going to be a run team or a power team. Not that it's not effective, but I'm just looking from it as a fan point of view. You know, I don't want to see, you know, 3 yards in cloud of dust offense. Not here in Vegas. You know, we got to bring some excitement to the game. Not that we're doing trick plays or anything of that nature. The fact is, we're showing how athletic these women are, and that it's not a stereotypical of what women's football is supposed to be, you know. So, you know, you got anything else on the passing game? You got some tips for me? Because, I mean, you know, my quarterback needs some tips, man. We only averaging 200 yards a game passing the ball, and she only threw for 295. I know I'm boasting and bragging, but if you got something to lay down for me so I can, you know, boost that up some more, let me know.
Hey, I can't. If you're doing 295, I can't add nothing to it. You do your thing. I just, it's
I see Remy on the line. That's why I had to say that, because I know he got something to say about them doggone Mustangs, man. He's wearing me out with those Mustangs. You know, I love them all.
You got the Mustangs and I got the Bandits, so we got to just deal with that. We all have our crosses to bear.
Yeah, definitely that, you know. So I definitely enjoy you on here, Coach. If you got something else to say about the pass game, please do. If not, you know, we're going to move on, because, you know, I only got 1 hour, man. I can talk 50 hours if I could. But I'm glad you're on, and like I said, if you got something else, bring it.
I'm listening.
Okay. All right, that's my man, Coach Holmes, from those Carolina Phoenix, them hot birds, as I call them, I call it the Southeast. You know, them hot birds. Them hot birds. Y'all better watch out for them hot birds. And I'll be watching 5-2, boy. I love me some 5 on the Phoenix team. So, you know, and she's talented. King is talented. If I could recruit, I'll recruit, but I can't do it, so I ain't worried about it. And I ain't got a plan, so it's all to the good. I see some Mustangs on the board. Hot dogs. They get to hear what I'm talking about. That means I got to be top secret here in my passing game analogy. But no, on the real, you know, I've had some coaches ask me, you know, how have you been able to implement a passing game? And the bottom line is teaching pass patterns. You know, it starts up with the big uglies, or the big beauties, as I call it, with the ladies. I don't call them the big uglies. I call them the big beauties, all right? You got to have a line to protect. If you can't protect, you can't pass. If you can't block, you can't run. So, again, it starts up front. Football starts up front. But the next thing is you got to find receivers, and you got to recognize receivers. You got some that are super fast that, you know, can run a 10-yard out. You got some that aren't as fast, and they got to cut it down to an 8-yard out. You got some that are possession receivers, then you got some playmakers. And you got to be able to coach them up and let them know up front, this is the style of receiver you are as of today. You can get better, but this is how I will be using you. I will be using you in this factor or this method. And then from there, my quarterback, you know, it's just repetition and understanding. Again, the first year when I taught my starting quarterback now, she didn't play with me the first year, but the second year, but her first year, she only read half. She only had two reads, either this receiver, or run. That was it. We didn't go through the whole progression because the game was just too fast for her. I mean, you know, lineman coming in, you got to think about this and think about that. Get the snap, make sure, you know, it's just too much. So we cut down half the field. She still passed for like 700-something yards that first year. The second year, we opened the field up to half the field, and we will run three receivers in that route. So you got 1, 2, and 3. Last year, we opened up the whole field to her. She threw for over 1,100 yards and 18 touchdowns. And, you know, because, again, she felt more comfortable. The game has slowed down. If you listen to some of the players that play at the top level, the game slowed down. No different when you play Pop Warner football and you go to high school. High school seems so much faster, you know, because you're dealing with older boys and whatever when you're a freshman. By the time you're 11th grade or senior, the game has slowed down. Then when you go to college, you're a freshman. You're out there with 23, 24, 25-year-old men. The game is so much faster. But as you get older, it slows down. Then when you become a college graduate and go into the next level and play pro, you're talking about guys that are, you know, 6'5", you know, 320, can run, you know, 4'8". The game is just fast. So, again, it's a progression of teaching. Same thing with the passing game. You know, if you want to institute your passing game, start off with just two options. Either this receiver, or run, you know. And as you get more experience, the game becomes more confident, you open it up, you know. So that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about going, passing the ball. You got to pass the ball, you know. You don't have to be a super big team. You don't have to have super numbers. Again, the tribe proved that, you know, last year. They were just good at what they do. They didn't have the biggest line. But they put the ball in their playmaker's hands, in their athlete's hands, and let it be what it was, you know. But you got to be patient. You know, you can't go for the juggler all the time. You can't go 50 every time. You got to go short. You got to bait them. You got to run an out. You got to run a hook. You got to run a slant, you know. The easiest pass pattern to catch is a slant. Three steps, slant in, 45 degree. Hey, got to have some cojones to go walk across the middle in some cases. If somebody hits you, you got to be able to take it. But you got to find the toughness, you know. Again, taking it to the next level, you got to implement some passing scheme. I know there's a couple of teams out there that are just totally, totally, totally run-oriented, running up, you know, 450, 60 yards a game, which is great. I mean, you coach what you got. You coach what you got. You know, if you got a big line and you got some big backs, then, yes, power game it. But, again, recruit to your likings. Recruit to what you know. There's a lot of coaches that don't know the passing game. You know, my background personally was I was a defensive guy. I was a defensive coordinator. I based my offense based on what I knew was hard for me as a defensive coordinator to stop. You know, what gave me headaches. That left me sleepless nights thinking about the many options that this other team had. But when I said I got my own team, be it male or female team, it didn't matter. But when I became the head coach of a team, I knew what I was going to do. I knew what I was going to do. Oh, yeah, keep on smelling. Yeah, you can smell the interception, but look at my passing rating on the quarterbacks. They're smart. They're definitely smart. But people don't even know. I'm looking at the kneeling board, and I'm looking at them Mustangs talk about smelling interceptions and Remy and all that other good stuff. See, everybody talks smack. I love it. This is what football is all about, is talking smack, you know? Talking smack. Matter of fact, my team, and it was going to be a topic too, my team has taken on my persona as a coach. And if you notice that all teams have, no matter what level, how the coach is tends how the team is. And if I'm talking smack, you know they talking smack. One of my players who work at Hooters, and this is funny, she just played this weekend. Her name is Maha, okay? She's from Egypt. She works at Hooters. I'm throwing out a shout to Hooters. They ain't my sponsor, but she work at Hooters. And she played on defense this week, and I heard her get up after she broke up a play, get your own wings, and said, you know, a word that I'm not going to say, but it starts with a B. I started laughing so hard. I said, I am just rubbing off on all these girls. But, yes, my team has taken on my attitude towards football and the energy that I display, you know what I'm saying? Because, again, I want them to have fun. It's about having fun out there. And the passing game is what I love to do. As a defensive coach, I hated teams that knew what they were doing on the offense of flooding zones and creating, you know, mismatches and all of other good things. So I've taken what I've gone against, what I've shut down before, and say, you know what, once that gets done, I'm going to use that, you know. So, again, you know, the passing game is where it's at. I like what I see from a lot of teams that are out there. You know, we still ain't putting up the, you know, videos, and I don't know why. I got the film on you. I got the full game. You know, put it out there. Stop holding back. What you put on a 3-minute highlight tape ain't what you all about anyway. So, again, we have the form to expose the athletes that we are coaching, but we are not doing what we need to do to put it out there. You know? So, again, you watch my videos. I put it on there. Hey, if it's a good play, it's on there. I ain't scared of it. I ain't scared if you know about it. You still got to stop it. You still got to stop it. And the weakest part of every team in women's football right now is the secondary. Everybody runs a 4-4, sack the box, even sometimes 9 in the box, waiting on the run. But guess what? How many of you guys out there got 3, 4, 5 DBs that can backpedal, turn the hip, and then actually go for the ball or make the hit? A lot of you guys out there got 1. So again, I'm gonna expose what you don't have. Most of you guys got big girls up front. Most of you guys got big linebackers. You know, and most of you guys are blitzing A gap, B gap, C gap. You know, a lot of you guys are sticking your defensive ends out wide to stop the sweeps. So, again, another thing to equal up the game for teams is the passing game. In the old days in the 60s and 70s, it used to be the wishbone. You know, you didn't need the big linemen. You know, matter of fact, the Air Force is a good example of that. Georgia Tech is a good example. With Georgia Tech, I think some big linemen. But Air Force, got some little bitty dudes up front, maybe 240, 260 at the most on the front line. But you know what? They do a hell of a job of cutting, and they just pound and pound and pound, you know. You use what you got. If you don't have the big lineman, then you need to do something, you know, to offset that. If you don't have the shifty running back, then you need to run a power game. If you just got possession receivers, then you need to run a possession type of passing game. You know, the West Coast offense would be a great idea for those who know it. But then that goes back to you as a coach. Are you going to camps and clinics to learn it? Or are you playing PlayStation? You know, what are y'all doing? What are y'all doing? I'm seeing Holmes on my Ning board talking about he got 5 DBs and 2 shutdown corners. That's pretty good. But I'm going to tell you what, coach. I got 6 receivers. That can do anything that we need to do. Okay? Just check out the stats, baby. Check out the stats. See, again, stats don't lie. Well, stats do lie in some cases. But film don't lie. Let me put it that way. Film don't lie. I don't have 1 receiver. I don't have 2 receivers. I don't have 3 receivers. I don't have 4 receivers. I got 5 or more that can just put it out there. We can go 5 wide on you. 5 wide. We get 16 points in 5 minutes, coach. For those who ain't on the line with me, he's talking smack here. He's talking about they only allow 16 points all year. I understand. But see, that's what coaches do, you know? We talk smack and then we go have a beer afterwards. There ain't nothing wrong with that. And that's what you ladies got to understand. It's part of the game. It's the culture of the game. We yell, we curse at each other, whatever. But after the game, we high-five and say, man, you got me. Great job. You know what? You won't get me next time. You know, that's just how we do it. But anyway, that's the passing game. You know, actually, I'm going to touch a little bit more about the passing game because I didn't even get to go into, you know, what some complicated teams do. I keep it simple with my model. I just keep it simple. We use a passing tree, basically. Okay? And that's how we run it. Some teams run plays by names. You know, some people have wide receivers that are just the right wide receiver and the left wide receiver, and they got to remember to stay on or off. I don't. I keep it simple. If you play X, you play X. You just switch sides. If you play Z, you switch sides. You go to the play call. If you play Y, you go to the play call. If you play X, you go to the weak side. You know? So it's a lot of things that you can do. But, again, the clinics are key to putting in the passing game. You got to understand what teams are trying to do. You got to understand if they're in cover 1, a cover 0, a cover 2, a 2-man, a cover 3, and in some cases cover 4. I haven't seen much of cover 4 in the women's game, but definitely cover 3 and cover 1. And a lot of cover 2. A lot of cover 2. That means 2 safeties. For those that don't know, cover 3 means it's going to be 3 deep, 4 under 3 deep. Cover 4 means 4 deep. They're taking quarters. You know, there's some people that do. I know this week we played the Utah Blitz. They wanted to sit in a cover 2, which was 2 safeties. And the corners were sitting. And like I said, it's going to take a minute. I'm going to figure you out. And once I figure it out, you know, it's going to get crazy. So you got to mix it up. So Mustangs, you got to mix it up. If you make it, you know, if you make it to Vegas, you got to mix it up. Don't sit back there in that 1 defense that I've been watching. Don't do it. Don't do it. Okay. There's some coaches that's hitting the kneeing boards and they do run the cover 4 and cover 7. Okay. That's good. That's good. Like I said, now we're talking football. Now we're talking about making it real. You know, then I just line up and point to the person you have. You got to have scheme in what you do, and also in your passing game, you got to have some madness, some method to your madness. You can't just say, okay, we're going to just chunk the ball out there and go run a bomb every play. No, you got to watch film, find out what DB does what well. You got to figure out how they're going to cover you. That's all I worry. That's all I do in practice. I scout myself, and I said, if this is what I see, this is what I would do against us. That's what keeps me on my toes. I always get self-scout, especially in the passing game. You don't want to get so predictable on second down, third down, fourth. No, you got to mix it up. And sometimes I be fooling myself. I don't even know what I'm doing on down the situations. Somebody said it's 50-50, Coach. Well, if you look at my stats, hey, we're probably the most balanced team out there. If you look at the current stats on, WFAFootball.com, not including this week, I think we're averaging 197 yards rushing, and we have 197.5 yards passing per game. So, yes, it is 50-50. You're not going to pigeon-toe me and figure out, you know, what do we do well, you know. I don't care. You can hear me. I'm here talking about it, but that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to teach. I'm here to teach. No big deal. I play chess all the time, and, you know, you can hear me. Take for what you know, but trust me, I got plan B and C in the back pocket. I love Coach Bill. I love you, Coach Bill. For those who ain't on the board, Showgirls need to win a playoff game before they tell everyone what they do. Hey, I got you. Hey, we just got our first playoff action last year. I'm this type of coach. This is me. I'm this type of player. Bring it. That's what I am. I am the Don King of women's football. I'm going to hype it up as big as it can be. You know? I'm going to hype it up as big as it can be. But I know what I got. I know what I have. Nobody else knows. Nobody else has seen. We just having fun here on Four Quarters with Coach Lee. Yes, you rocking Four Quarters with Coach Lee. That's what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? We're going to go ahead and end that because I don't think I got nobody on the line that want to talk about the passing game anymore. But, again, elevate your game. Teach it. Make it happen. And definitely get into some coaching clinics, be it if you're learning the passing game or the running game or blocking schemes or whatever. Educate yourself, coaches. There's not enough of us out there that have the knowledge of football and applying it in the women's game, okay? Again, you got to do it. You got to do it. So we're going to move on. Quarter number three. Let's talk about WFA Championship weekend, yo. That's what I'm talking about, yeah. I'm going to be there one way or another. Like it or not, Coach Lee will be there. Y'all hope that I'll be on the field coaching. Like I said, y'all hope that I'm on the field coaching. Because I'm working the gates, I might not let y'all in. You know what I'm saying? Nah, but I wouldn't do that. I think it's going to be a great weekend here in Las Vegas. And, you know, again, I talked about this about 2 or 3 weeks ago, actually about 4 or 5 weeks ago, when the WFA actually announced the fact that it's going to be in Vegas. We are planning a great weekend for all to come. We are planning a great all-star weekend. And, you know, all-star voting should be taking place probably beginning of June. So we're probably about a week and a half out to start helping select those things. But I'm anticipating everybody showing up. I'm anticipating all coaches to come because, you know, I like to meet Coach Bill. I would like to meet, you know, all the other coaches out there, you know. I just would, you know. It's that fraternity, that fraternal order. And that's kind of stereotyping, saying that because it's all men, but it ain't all men. But what I'm saying is it's that pool. You know, we learn from each other. And like I said, I'm open about it because I ain't got nothing to hide. But when you go to seminars, workshops, and all those other good things that take place, coaches share information, you know. I just sat down with Coach Cover, and I asked him, I said, you know, now that we don't play each other anymore, you know, what was your method going into the game of how to stop us? Because that's something that in women's football we have not been able to do. And I know I talked to Coach Q with the slam after they beat us in the playoff game. We sat there for about an hour and a half scheming and talking about, you know, I thought you were going to do this and do this. That felt so good. It felt so good to talk to some other coaches and to help you understand, you know, what you're trying to do. Is it that obvious? Is it complicated? Is it that simple? What keys are you reading so that I can go back and teach to make me a better team? And that's why coaches share. Now, how did I get on the sharing situation when we're talking about the WFA Championship weekend? Because I want to see all the coaches there. We are going to have a little coaches gathering. You know, I got it hooked up, fellas and ladies that are coaches. Y'all got to get here. We're going to have some fun. Like I said, I got the whole resort to us. You know, it's going to be it's going to be just a WFA thing for the whole resort over at the Tuscany Suites and Casino. All right? So, again, we got things lined up over at the for the championship weekend. We got all-stars that will be playing in the game. Right now, we are finalizing the coaches situation. And I'm throwing it out there because, again, I want it to be open. You know, like I said, we want everybody to participate. We want everybody to be here to participate. And I got a couple of things up my sleeve right now that I haven't thrown out there yet because, you know, I announce them when it's time. You know, I will announce them when it's time. But it has something to do with the All-Star game. So, you know, I hold back on that. But, you know, the format's going to be, because some of the people have asked questions about, well, how are the people that are in the championship game going to play in the All-Star game? You know what? It's business as usual for the championship teams. They're not there for the All-Star. They're there for the ring. They're there for the free uniforms. They're not there to say I played in the All-Star game. Whoop-dee-woo, whoop-dee-doo. You know, the bottom line is they're there for the championship. Now, if you are an All-Star player, I mean, who made All-Stars, you'll get recognized as an All-Star player before the All-Star game. Be introduced and whatever, and get called out as an All-Star, but you won't see this particular player until 8 o'clock that evening, you know, in a championship game, because that's what it's all about. You know, everybody was asking, well, why is the All-Star game beforehand? Well, my experience with All-Star games and championship games, especially in the women's game, you know, people want to get out of town on Sunday. They don't want to wait around to 11, 12, 1 o'clock to start a game, and then it's over by 3 and getting out late and trying to travel back. They don't want to do that. You know, like I said, I've learned from my mistakes. So when we put this together, we're like, you know what? Let's do it a prelude or a pregame All-Star before the championship game. That way you got all the players there, everybody's there. You ain't got to go back to the stadium for the second day. You know, at the championship game, everybody's partying. You know, they up to 3, 4 in the morning. Who wants to get up at 8 o'clock in the morning after partying and probably hanging over and trying to play in the All-Star game? Again, it's about the quality of the product, you know. So, again, you know, those are some of the explanations of why the championship and the All-Star game is on the same day. It's just the fact that we want to highlight two of the biggest events that are taking place for the league at the same time when we have the optimal amount of folks at the game. And, you know, we want people to be able to leave at their drop of a dime. You know, if they got to leave out at 10 because they got to fly into New York, which is already, what, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, they're not going to get in until 8 o'clock at night. You know, they got to go to work on Monday. You know what? You got to take that in consideration. So, again, championship weekend is going to be off the hook. We got a couple of events taking place, team events that will be taking place in front of some of the Boys and Girls Club. That's already set up. There's going to be probably about 200 to 300 kids there to watch the All-Stars participate in, you know, it used to be like a show called All-Stars back in the day where they did, you know, different events. You know, it might be a team relay. It might be a team 40 or somebody from your team who represents the fastest girl on your team who can throw the furthest. Get one of the linemen to do lineman drills for a time, blocking a sled, going over bags, scooping up a fumble and running for 20 yards. It's a lot of things that we're putting together. But we want this to be a fun, festive event. There's going to be a boys and girls football clinic going on Saturday morning that I have some special guests coming in to help run that and facilitate that, and hopefully the All-Star players are there to do that. If not, players from the league can come on out. Everybody come out in their jerseys, represent their team. You know, we're going to turn Vegas inside out with nothing but women's football players and coaches and owners. There's going to be an owners meeting going on. We're going to have new teams, representatives coming in town, being highlighted and you know, treated well. It's a lot of things going on, but you got to make it your thing to be here in Vegas on July 30th, 31st, which is actually the game day, and the August 1st, which we're going to be doing the awards banquet, brunch. So It's going to be off the hook, you guys. It's going to be off the hook. And I hope. No, I'm not going to hope. And I know you all are going to be there. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. Let's see. Anything else on the, any questions I had to answer for the weekend? Oh, yes. Make sure you guys sign up. You know, like I said, there's pre-tickets, pre-shirts, pre-everything on the, I know there's a link on my website at lvshowgirls.com. I know there's a link on wfafootball.com. But, hey, don't wait. You know what I'm saying? Those rooms, I got rooms for special for those who are coming. It's 50, 55 a night, you know, with your, no, not 55 a night. It's 150 with tax included for the whole weekend. And it's 55 a night if you're going to stay over, like a Thursday, come in on Thursday, or stay in on Monday. So the weekend is great, 150 for the weekend, and I think it's 55 a night for any day you're going to stay over. So some people are going to make it a true vacation, maybe stay 3 or 4 days. We got it all hooked up. So just go to the link, make it happen. I think there's pre-sale tickets, I think $5. You can buy them right now. Like I said, we want everybody to come out and enjoy. Yeah, I think there's pre-sale on hats, pre-sale on shirts. So even if you don't make it, you can go ahead and order all that stuff, you know. But, again, do your thing like a chicken wang, you know what I'm saying? And I'll see you guys in Vegas. Like I said, I'm going to be playing. That's just the attitude that I have, and that's just the attitude that I put onto the team. Because if you ain't got nothing to be hungry about, then you're not going to eat. And we're not going to eat until we get to where we got to go. That's just goal setting. It's not being arrogant. It's just goal setting. So, you know, I might talk smack, but that's our goal. You know, it's championship or bust. You know, and I know that's everybody's team, but I'm not the humble coach. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say that I'm not talking about championship. I got to build my team up for that because that's where we want to go. That's where we want to be. That's my motivation for them. That's what I do. I put the pressure on them. That means they need to listen to me. They need to learn. They need to know what's going on with the coaches. Okay, listen to the coaches. But anyway, moving right along. Time flies when you're having fun because you hear Four Quarters of Coach Lee on Blog Talk Radio. And like I said, if you ever want to call in, all you got to do is dial 347-826-7278. You know, this show, it's cool tonight. I'm not trying to be a preachy. I want to say a preachy preacher tonight. I just want to have some fun. Like I said, I like talking smack. It's just about doing what we got to do, you know. And I throw it out there to the coaches because a lot of coaches listen to the show, and they understand what I'm talking about. They go through what I'm going through. I'm just being the vocal one that's expressing it at this time in this moment, you know. I've never gone into a game thinking I'm going to lose. I don't care who I played. I don't care if they were bigger, smaller, faster, shorter, slower. It didn't matter. I've never gone into a game thinking I'm going to lose. So I'm not going to change that at this point in time. So anyway, let's move on. Quarter number four. What we got on the Ning board? Let me see real quick. I know that the Nebraska Stampede are doing one hell of a job. Getting some light out in Nebraska. I think they've been on 2 or 3 news stations out there that did special pieces. And I'm not just talking about the stories of, you know, behind women's football stories or the feel-good stories behind women's football, but they're actually getting stories that are about and talking about women's football. And same here. I've done the same thing. Actually, I will not take any media media contacts or whatever, if they're not going to talk about us playing football. You know, like I said, we need to talk about what we out here doing and how the game looks. And I think Stampede did a great job on his last piece. For those who seen the piece that I just did last week with CBS affiliate in our town, Count 8, you know, it's all about the game. It's about football. It's not about where the girls work and if they've been sick and or how old they are. And it's not a feel-good story when you're talking about football. It's about football, you guys, and we have to take it to that next level. You know, I know it hasn't gotten to be a sticky topic as of yet on the Ning board, But, you know, women's football does not have any direction of how it's being promoted. You know, some people are promoting it as a feel-good. We playing it because we're girls. Another one's promoting it because we didn't have an opportunity to play. We have others saying that we just want a chance to play. Others are talking about, you know, promoting it. This is football. You know, don't even put a label in front of it. Don't put women. Don't put men. Don't put it's football. You know, again, those are the things that we got to talk about. And I think if you're doing media, you know, take it that way. You know, don't do it as a feel-good story. Do it as we're playing football. Come see us play. And that's the approach that I've taken because we got to sell it as what it is. It's football. You ain't got to label it women's football. Just label it. It's football. Okay? And that's where we go with it. But let me see what else we got here. I just saw that piece that went up from Nebraska, and I haven't even learned how to put mine up there. I hate the news sometimes because they put blocks on you on links, and they want you to link it so it goes to their main website, not to the actual story. And I just want the story. I just want to copy and paste the story that you did on me. I don't want to know about everything else going on in the news. You don't want to know what else is going on in Vegas. Hot topic is the playoff bracket, you know. Again, two different leagues with two different types of playoff bracket. I know we got another league out there, but they're not talking playoffs this year. They're expeditions. So, again, you got one who's talking about the ranking systems being the projector of who makes the playoffs. Sounds like college football to me, the BCS, stuff like that. Brings a lot of controversy. Teams that get in shouldn't get in. Teams that ain't in don't get in. You know, that's good for college football, but is it good for women's football? I don't know. Are we drawing up enough information or getting enough media attention to make it be noticed by having the controversial things? I know Coach Penn talked about it, and like I said, as coaches, you know, as coaches, our thing is head-to-head competition. You know, you beat me, you win. I beat you, I'm in. You know, if we don't play, then it got to be some other rule. But like I said, we're talking about the WFA with the brackets and everything. Some people didn't understand. They don't, you know, haven't understand or understood. Is that time? This night? My goodness. OMG. In any other acronym you can come up with, time just flies. You know, when you sit here, you're rocking four quarters of Coach Lee. I know I keep it to an hour, and I want to keep it to an hour, but I just hate it sometimes when I'm about to jump into something. But I'm going to end it. I'm going to put myself a side note, and I'm going to start off next week with quarter number one. We're going to talk about the playoffs because we should have a better light. I know in the IWFL, it'll be a better light of what's going on there. In the WFA, it'll be the same as it is today because there's no games that are important. Not say important. That's the wrong word. That are not happening this weekend because of the league-wide bye. But anyway, you check out those brackets. You go on a name board. You talk it up. You know what I'm saying? We can't change nothing if we don't talk about it. If you just got it in your head, then nobody else knows. So put it out there. Let folks know. You know, even if you're an alias person, you know what I'm saying? Because you might get in trouble. Who knows? Hey, the bottom line is this. We're here to educate. We're here to promote. We're here to push. We're here to challenge the system. We're here to challenge each other. We're here to teach and make it happen. So again, I'm Coach Lee rocking with you for four quarters each and every Monday night. You know what I'm saying? Never question what I am because it's coming from the heart. It just works that way. Hustler of football, yo. That's what I do. All right? So anyway, I'm rumbling. Let me get up off of this phone. Let me head home, hug my kids, kiss my wife, you know, and then watch film. Because that's how it is when you're a football coach. You just got time to hug your kids, kiss the wife, and hit into the man cave and watch film. Because I got to get prepared. If my goal is to go 13-0 and my team's goal to go 13-0, I need to prepare them. So anyway, I'm out of here. Peace.